Hi, and welcome to Conversations, a UCF College of Arts and Humanities podcast, where I interview faculty, artists, students, and community members involved in the UCF College of Arts and Humanities. In this series, I'll be speaking with people involved in the college's annual festival, UCF Celebrates the Arts, held from April 2nd through April 15th at Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. Listen to behind-the-scenes stories from some of the exciting events happening at this year's festival, ranging from music, visual arts, theater, humanities, and more. My name is Madeline Mulford, and I'm a UCF student interning at the College of Arts and Humanities Communications Department. I decided to create this podcast to share the stories behind news, research, and events at the college, and raise awareness for the arts here on campus. My guest for today's episode is Jeff Moore, Dean of the UCF College of Arts and Humanities. Dean Moore joined the college in 1994 as the university's first full-time percussion professor. He served as chair of the music department and founding director of the School of Performing Arts before being appointed dean of the College of Arts and Humanities in 2016. During his time at the School of Performing Arts, he started UCF Celebrates the Arts, an annual festival highlighting the creativity of UCF students, faculty, and alumni. The event showcases the impact the arts and humanities have on all disciplines and the community at large. Thanks for joining me today. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast as one of the creators of UCF Celebrates the Arts, which we highlight on many of our episodes. And as the Dean of the College of Arts and Humanities, you know more than anyone the power that the arts and humanities have to change people's lives. And why do you think it's important for students and members of the community to support and engage with the arts and humanities?
Well, I think it's important for the students and the community to engage with the arts and humanities because there's an old adage that the world's got problems and the university has disciplines. And the code for that is, of course, that the solutions to the world's challenges are going to be found in more than one discipline. So a lot of times people relegate the arts and humanities to the specific areas that we research or that we perform and we do all of these things. But if you engage with us, you'll see that some of the things that we're studying and that we've learned about actually have application beyond those disciplines. And I wanted to improve the impact of the arts and humanities research and specifically the arts performances. And having a festival like this, if the students and community engage with us, they see what we're up to, they see what we've discovered, we see some of the things that we're passionate about, and they see connections to their own disciplines. And that might help solve a number of challenges that we face outside of arts and humanities, within medicine, within engineering. All these disciplines sort of intersect. It's really exciting.
Yeah, I have noticed that about UCF Celebrates the Arts, taking a very interdisciplinary approach in mm-hmm. a lot of the events. And with UCF Celebrates the Arts 2023 being just a couple of weeks away, and the college is having over 40 events, for the last 9 years, this festival has really become a cornerstone of the arts community, not only for the UCF community, but also just Central Florida in general. And as one of the creators of the festival, I wanted to ask you, how did the idea for UCF Celebrates the Arts first originate back in 2015, I believe?
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Madeline, for the question. It's an interesting story because it starts with a challenge. We had an investment in the Dr. Phillips Center downtown, and the original agreement was to give us, that is the university, 60 days in the smallest theater, and to then determine how we were going to go about scheduling those over the next 25 years of our agreement. And this is a daunting task for people who sort of program year to year to look 25 years in the future and say, how are you going to use these 60 days? So when I looked at it, I said, you know what I really like to do? I have a really great job in that I get to see and interact with a number of people in their performances, in their research, plays, performances. I get to see all of these things. And I was like, I would love to just show everyone what's going on at UCF and how it intersects with all of the disciplines. And the Dr. Phillips Center is a beautiful showcase for that. Number two, we don't have any really great performance spaces, really any adequate performance spaces on the campus. So I need to get these students into the world-class facility and give them these meaningful experiences. So I said, how am I going to do this with these 60 days in the small theater? And that's when I sort of had the epiphany that I was like, I'd like to do, you know, Florida State University does a thing called Prism Concerts. The University of Michigan has these as well, where they showcase a number of their ensembles and music all at once, one evening or over a weekend. And I said, what if we could do a festival where we could have theater, visual art, music, and all of the ways that those projects interact with some of the disciplines on campus, because I'm on campus getting to go to all these events and seeing how it interacts. Let's bring it to the community. Let's put it in a place. Some people look at the UCF main campus here and say, oh, that's really far on the east side. It's too far for me to go. If we could bring this downtown. So I said, do you think the Dr. Phillips Center would consider trading our 60 days in the Pew Theater for 2 weeks where we control all of the spaces in the Dr. Phillips Center? And I was speaking to my friend Paul Lartenois, who's an assistant dean, and he said, well, yeah, let's ask them. So we went down there, and they were thrilled with the idea. And that's how it came about. We said, we'll have the spaces for 2 weeks, and as they add more spaces on, we get control of those spaces for 2 weeks. It's really in deference to our $15 million investment that the University of Central Florida made in the Dr. Phillips Center. But being able to showcase this, I was able to take it out to the wider community beyond the arts and humanities and say to the College of Sciences, say to the College of Engineering and Computer Science, what do you have happening in April that you might want to bring down there? Are there talks? Are there panel discussions? Are there alumni engagement sort of things we could do? We engage with UCF Foundation. And having a sort of set place on the calendar for the first 2 weeks of April or so is really important, because those are culminating weeks without quite getting into the finals week. That's going to be really challenging for students, but at close enough to the end that we can see these projects culminate. So that's really where it came about. April for that time period, the Dr. Phillips Center giving us all of those spaces and us maximizing the investment that we had made as a university into that space.
Yeah, that's great. And that's about a lot of the events being interdisciplinary. I feel like that shows a lot of the ways that technology and the arts kind of, and different disciplines like that can all work together with the arts to advance their own respective disciplines. And over the years, we've seen different themes emerge from the programming at the festival. And one of these themes for this year is technology, how technology is affecting the arts and vice versa. Would you be able to tell our listeners about why that intersection of arts and tech is important, especially now?
Sure. The intersection of arts and technology, it's a challenging thing to talk about, because I don't know where the one starts and the other enters, because conventional thinking would be, well, you're building something in technology and then the artists see how it applies. But very often we're seeing the case where arts are doing something and that requires technology, and then the engineers come to us and say, what is it you want to do? We're trying to do this with digital content. We're trying to have some digital effects or some sort of, you know, if you think about the movie business and how CGI has revolutionized the way effects are done, these things were generated by creatives who said, I need to do this. I need to show a spaceship. I need to show this thing happening. And the engineers brought their creativity to bear on it. And then we have the technology evolve. So we have this in music and the arts all the time. Apple is a well-known company known for using artists on their design teams. So arts and technology intersect more than just technologies created and the arts see how it could be applied in their disciplines. Sometimes the technology is an outgrowth of the arts. And I'll give you another great, I think a great example about this is, you know, most of this current generation and the generations behind it, and maybe even the one generation in front of it, they want to intersect with the arts on their platform, you know, whatever platform that is, a digital platform. They want to customize their content and they want to have it on demand in their own way. they still may want to go to see a show live. They still may want to have that experience, but they also want to have this other experience. And certainly if you're going to create content for that platform, you want to utilize everything you can for that platform. So dropping in digital scenery, digital effects, things that could make that experience on that device different than the live performance. This is where I think the arts are going. And when we think about immersive experiences, which is one of the pillars of excellence here at UCF, our themed experience program, our visual arts people, our theater and music people, we're all looking at ways in which we can bring that experience, whether they're experiencing the arts in a digital platform or in a live performance. How do we create the optimum experience in both formats or in additional formats? So that question is so challenging to answer insofar as being complete. But I can just suffice to say, sometimes the technology is created out of the arts. Sometimes the arts are utilizing and leveraging the technology and what they produce. And sometimes it's a culmination of collaboration.
Those are some really fascinating points about how technology has not only influenced the arts, but also how the arts have helped to advance and influence technology too. And I honestly had never really thought about it that way, but it makes a lot of sense. And like you said, when the arts and tech work together, we get some really incredible events and experiences. And I feel like we've seen that throughout the last 9 years of UCF Celebrates the Arts. So I wanted to ask you, what are some of your favorite moments or highlights from the history of UCF Celebrates the Arts?
Two of the greatest events that I'm most proud of utilized technology in the first UCF Celebrates the Arts. We had Brian Green, who's a string theory physicist, and one of our physicist professors, Kostas, brought to me the idea of, Brian wrote an update of the Icarus myth, which is, if you know the Greek myth, Icarus flies too close to the sun and the sun melts the glue and the feathers and he falls. In this updated version, Brian Green wrote that Icarus, as a sun, rides his spaceship too close to a black hole and the gravitational pull pulls him into the black hole. So Brian used that myth as a chance to explain gravitational waves and to explain some of the mysteries of the black hole. And to do that, he needed a symphony orchestra, and we needed usually you have celebrity narrator, and our celebrity was Kate Mulgrew, who was the first female captain on the Star Trek series. And it was the first year, and it showcased how technology and art come together so well, and it was a combined, Kostas' idea to bring it to me, and we worked together on that. And then the next year he had this idea, Kostas did, about bringing Hans Zimmer and Kip Thorne and Paul Franklin in, who are the masterminds behind the movie and book Interstellar. And of course, Hans did the music and Paul did the cinematic design. And we brought all of those elements together, where Kip was able to do a sort of a TED talk before the concert explaining where all these images were inspired by. And then Brian did, try to really teach about gravitational waves and things that have to do with the black hole and what that means to us in time travel and things. And then we watched Paul's beautiful images as Kip was describing this, and then Hans had written music for it, and then Hans needed an extra percussionist. He needed a percussionist to play with him, so I got a chance to play with Hans Zimmer. So on a personal level, that was really gratifying for me to be able to play, but on a professional level, watching the impact that event happened, sold out in Disney, 2,700 seats, and everybody flocked for autographs afterwards and everything. It really showed the power of art and technology and science coming together. It was just, I really look forward to UCF Celebrates the Arts opportunities like that.
That's actually so cool that you performed with Hans Zimmer. I can't even imagine. That's really cool. I'm also a huge Star Trek fan, so hearing that Kate Mulgrew was at the first UCF Celebrates the Arts is so amazing. I've also heard that this year we're having some celebrity appearances in the form of Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm and Megan Hilty from Broadway. But I've heard that you have an annual favorite event at UCF Celebrates the Arts, which is the percussion concert. I'm guessing that's because you're a percussionist yourself. Can you tell us a little bit more about that event and what other events are some hidden gems that patrons should look out for?
Sure. Well, one of the main reasons for starting UCF Celebrates the Arts was to give our students at UCF, not just music and theater, but especially music and theater, a platform, you know, to have an experience of performing in a world-class environment. So all of the concerts, especially the percussion concert, because I'm a percussionist, I still teach percussion to this day. So I'm working with students privately in lessons and in a couple of percussion classes. So getting to watch their faces when they're able to perform and hear their music, hear their instruments in a world-class acoustic setting, it's their faces and then their sense of accomplishment, it's what I want for them all the time. I want them to have a space where they can do that all the time. And we can't do that just yet on campus. We're working at it, but we haven't been able to do it just yet. But I can at least offer it to them these 2 weeks in April. So I go to the percussion ensemble concert. We bring a guest percussion soloist or artist in, and we invite high school percussion groups. And I've been gratified that a number of our alumni are teaching in the public schools in the area and through the state bring their students. And so I get to check in with my alumni. I get to hear their students play. It's sort of like having grand students, where you get to hear them play and see them play. And they interact with this world-class artist who's giving them feedback on their performances and whatnot. There's a short dinner break. Then the artist will perform usually with the UCF ensemble. So I get to see our players have that experience and then interacting with world-class artists. So that is near and dear to my heart. But there are so many student performances like that that are the hidden gems, you know. I think the Wind Ensemble Symphonic Band and our choirs, I go to those concerts every year. Sometimes they have guest artists, sometimes they don't. But even when they don't, it's still a moving concert. The directors of those ensembles have really put a lot of thought in programming, and they're really thematic, and they're trying to convey a message and story. That is, we've had concerts that celebrate the space program. We've had concerts that look at challenges of race in the United States. We've had challenges being presented through musical form, and I think those are the hidden gems. You know, I seek out the theater production of, you know, their Reach for the Stars program, where the seniors or the upperclassmen will perform sort of dream roles, but they're roles that have been curated for a concert, again, for message, but also to showcase their talents. And you watch their faces as they're performing, you know, they know that they're in a world-class setting and they're performing up to the venue. And that's been something that's they haven't been able to do all year because they haven't had the proper facilities. And here we are in the greatest facilities. And it's just, it's really wonderful. And if you get a chance to go to the New Music Ensemble or the National Young Composers Challenge, which kicks off the festival this year on April 2nd, that's young people age 13 to 18, not even at UCF, not at any school yet, other than high school. Many are homeschooled. They write for an orchestra or a chamber ensemble. We get 80 or 90 submissions. They're evaluated and judged, and each student, each submission is given feedback by the judges on digital recording. And then we pick three finalists from the orchestra category and from the chamber category. Then we have the Orlando Philharmonic, because of our partnership with the Orlando Philharmonic, perform the works. And Chris Wilkins is the conductor of the Young Composers Challenge, and he interviews those students, and you get to hear the high school students talk about their inspirations, like having the curtain pulled back. So I get to see that for the UCF students. I see this on a national level for students who are coming in to experience that Young Composers Challenge. And I would encourage all of you, you probably have events that you love and that you're like, I'm a big theater aficionado, or I love dance. Well, we have dance concerts. We have theater performances. Please go to those. But look at the other offerings that we have. Maybe just pick one and examine it, especially it might even be the same night as the theater one. So come a little early and check out the chamber music, or come a little early and check out this other piece. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by what you find, and you'll probably find things that really resonate and connect with you. Our theme this year, as you mentioned, is technology. So a number of our performances and presentations panel discussions, other things focus on technology, and not just technology in the arts, but technology overall.
Yeah, that's a good point that people can try something new at this festival, because it's all of the events just in one place and on the same week. So for me, I'm a theater fan. I was thinking of going to like the operas and theaters, but you know, I could just come like an hour earlier and see like one of the music performances. So,
oh, yes.
And speaking of accessibility like that, one of the things that is great about UCF Celebrates the Arts is that a lot of the events are free. And why was it important to make so many of the events free when you were creating the festival?
Sure. Most of our public events, many of our public events that we present on campus, you know, we welcome the public because it's part of our accreditation process for performing arts. Both music and theater require that you perform publicly. So we need to invite the public to our performances. So that was a sort of hand-in-glove sort of situation, except we, you know, charge tickets because we need to offset some of the costs that come with doing those presentations. So when we said, let's move it downtown to the Dr. Phillips Center for these 2 weeks, I was fortunate to find just a number of angel investors, people who really believed in this idea. Dr. Mary Palmer, who is the former dean of the College of Education at UCF, but is a renowned expert in music education. Rita Lowndes, Judy Albertson, Judy Duda. These were people who, I brought the idea to them, they were very interested in it and gave of their, and many still do. They sponsor this event because they believe it's something that the community should be able to access, not just so that our performances are accessible, but sometimes people haven't been to the Dr. Phillips Center because it's very expensive usually to go to those professional shows. And by making the festival free, having a number of events free, and then keeping it low cost, we increase the accessibility. Remember, the initial idea was to try to show the community all of the, as much as we could, all of the great things that are happening at UCF, all the achievements in research and performance that are happening, not just in the arts and humanities, but in all of our colleges when we can. Well, if you price that experience out of the hands of most people, then you've lost that first connection of community impact. And at UCF, we believe we're not just in the community, we're of the community. And if we want to really maintain that as not just a saying, but as a reality, accessibility was key. Price point accessibility was key. So we have 40 events this year, and 20 are absolutely free. And the others have a range of ticket prices that are very affordable. I think the most expensive ticket is $25, and the rest go down from there. So it was critical and it was the forward-thinking, committed arts patrons that have long supported the arts in Central Florida. The short list I just gave you, I'm leaving out a number of really great names. We've had a number of sponsors come forward, from individuals to companies that have these this vision to help make the arts accessible and make the Dr. Phillips Center accessible for everyone. And these 2 weeks and that sponsorship has made all the difference.
Thank you. Yeah, there's really nothing like UCF Celebrates the Arts when it comes to having so many high-quality free events. But as we're wrapping up on our time today, I wanted to ask if there was anything else you wanted to say.
Our time for today? Well, I've really appreciated the time. Thanks for the invitation, Madeline, to come in and talk about this as a passion project, and one that I've just really enjoyed watching grow over these years, not just in size and scope, but in commitment. I think the UCF arts community, that is the students and faculty and staff, have really connected to Orlando and the Central Florida region through this festival. And it's allowed us to connect with relationships on our own campus. As I've mentioned, all these different departments that have come together and will come together even this year for events. We have events in AI and other sorts of technology events, panel discussions and things. And really trying to get this word out is critical. So I appreciate this opportunity to talk about it and get the word out. And I encourage all of your listeners and everyone else, the more you talk about it, the more people will become aware of it. And I hope to see everybody down there. I'll be down there in person most of the time, I understand I will be a hologram at some point, so I'll be trapped in a box. So maybe come to see that too. But thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thanks to everyone for tuning in to this episode of Conversations, a UCF College of Arts and Humanities podcast. Today, I interviewed Jeff Moore, Dean of the UCF College of Arts and Humanities. We discussed UCF Celebrates the Arts, the college's annual festival of creativity, held from April 2nd through April 15th at Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. Learn more and buy tickets at arts.ucf.edu/celebrates.